Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
What is your question for the Killer Bees? You can ask us whatever you want. 713-780-3776. You can ask whatever. We're not going to read it on the air. 0170, thoughts on yesterday's Grand Prix? Was it Leclerc?
It was grand, man.
Didn't Leclerc have like some weird antics on the podium? Didn't I see that? I thought he had some weird antics on the podium that I saw. 713-780-3776.
Schumacher?
He's long gone. Actually, he's got a kid that was in F1. I don't know if he currently is. All I keep up with in F1's Drive to Survive. So I'm always a year behind the news because I don't watch the races, but I watch the documentary.
It's not really a documentary. Michael.
Yeah, no, that's him, but he's long gone. He doesn't race anymore.
No. Who's the guy that was
like the best player? The best player.
One of the best drivers that used to.
Right now, it's Verstappen. Verstappen's the best.
And who's his main competition?
Probably Lewis Hamilton, but he's kind of over Hamilton's the hill. Yeah, I don't think Lewis Hamilton's really his main competition anymore. They have that. They have Russell now, who's the Mercedes best driver, a little better than Kyle Russell, or better than Lewis Hamilton.
Nice pull there.
Yeah, I watched the Drive to Survive, but my news is always a year old.
I give you credit for it.
It's always a year old. 713-780-ESPN, 0925. I'll form this into a question for 0925. Who has a better record next year, the Houston Texans or the Cleveland Browns?
I think it's the Cleveland Browns.
Which hat do you want me to wear?
I'm just saying.
Do you want my Homer hat or do you want
my
rational hat?
I'm giving you as honest as I can be.
I think it's the Browns, but I think that
you think
you're talking 10 to 15 for both teams, like their draft range.
I think we're kind of sleeping a little bit on the Browns. I think the Browns have playoff potential. I think the Browns are certainly capable of making the playoffs.
I do agree, but their schedule and like just the division they're in is so hard that like I think it's impossible to predict the AFC outside of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Like anything is possible. The Browns could win the division or they could finish fourth. Like I think that's how competitive the whole conference is.
They finished last year with a 7-10 record. Obviously they played most of last year without Deshaun Watson, and then when they got Deshaun Watson back, he was rusty.
The one thing
I think they're a playoff team,
but I think they could be. But I think the one—it's all going to come down to what you and I have discussed in the past, which is Deshaun Watson's going to find it again. Is he going to get back to his old form and even better than that? Is he going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league? I think the jury's out more than it's in. You obviously saw a smaller sample size a year ago. Now with a full off season and the training camp and everything that he's going to go through again,
yeah. Obviously, it matters more than just the quarterback position.
But it's so important.
But who has a more productive 2023 NFL season?
I love the
fact. Is it Deshaun Watson or is it CJ Stroud? Deshaun Watson's right. Going to have a better
right.
year.
Yeah, they will. And I think they have a way better roster.
I think so, too. I like their roster.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN.
If the Texans have the, let's call it the 10th pick. And the Browns have the 17th. Does that make you feel better about the trade? Like, if the Texans are outside the top 10, yes, you're still farther back because the Browns had some success, but not great success. Like, do you feel better about it then?
I think there's more variables than just where Houston and Cleveland are picking. Like,
how the rest of the board
works. Yeah, I mean, if CJ Stroud, I mean, again, not rooting for this, but if Stroud looks like a bust and Will Anderson looks just okay, like where the Texans and where the Browns are picking really won't matter. We'll be looking at two players that the Texans risked it all for that are looking mediocre after year one. So, like, where the Texans pick and where the Browns pick, I think, is one of a few variables of how we're going to ultimately feel about this trade. Now, if Cleveland's picking sooner than the Texans, I think that it'll be an easier pill to swallow, absolutely.
Yeah, look, from my standpoint, there's a million ways you're going to judge this. But the biggest thing is that Nick Caseri, who gets a lot of credit from me and I think from you too in terms of talent evaluation for the most part, and there's some that the jury's still out on, you're going to watch talent evaluation and say, if these two guys, you were so hell-bent adamant that you had to have both of them, regardless of what you gave up to get them, they got to perform first and foremost. And then after they perform, what level are they going to perform at? And can they consistently do that so that you can evaluate the picks that you gave up and say, yeah, it was still clearly worth it, or you're still going to have question marks?
8029 says, I can't ask because I'm blocked. Clearly you're not. Ocho, some people think Steph Curry is the best point guard of all time. Do you consider him a point guard, or is he a combo guard with a point guard label after that 50-burger last night in Game 7?
I consider him a combo guard because most point guards can't shoot like that. And he's still got really good handles. But I don't think he's a traditional point guard. He's a shoot-first point guard that is good at both positions, so that's why I think he's a combo.
You think Isaiah Thomas was a shoot-first point guard, though? Like, he was a scorer.
But he wasn't a shooter.
No, I don't think many people in that era were great shooters,
Well, that's
though.
What I'm saying. This like is a different era, but I think that's why... I think you're selling him short if you just call him a point guard or a two-guard. Yeah. I think he's a combo guard with the best of both worlds. Literally the best of both worlds. He's got great handles, and he's the best shooter of all time.
I don't really think we see tons of true point guards anymore, so I'll give Curry a point guard label. Like, James Harden now is a point guard.
I think Scoot Henderson really could be guard. A true point guard. I think he's more of a traditional
point
guard.
He'd be one
guard.
Of the few, though. Yeah. Like, how many true point guards are there right now in the NBA? Chris Paul?
Chris Paul.
Like
first
that,
one
I'm talking about
mind.
Like really good point guards. I'm not talking about right. like these mediocre, average point guards. I'm talking about really good, star-level point guards. Chris Paul? I think Scoot has a chance to be. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Ken, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's your question for the Killer Bees?
Yeah, I wanted to know what you think about the little running back from Utah State, Calvin Tyler, going to the Bengals.
You touched on it.
I have no idea who that is. I'm not going to lie to you.
You touched on the Bengals adding running back to replace Mixon.
I do not know who Utah State's running back is.
Chase Brown from Illinois.
Yeah, but I didn't know if you knew any more about the depth of the Bengals, because I'm not going to act like I do.
I also am looking at the Bengals draft, and I don't see that player listed, so that's an undrafted free agency question.
Maybe he was trying to trap us and just trying to like give analysis on a guy that
Look,
we had no
I'm
idea
gonna
about.
I'm going to say that with that in mind, that
didn't happen.
I think there's the potential of that guy being a diamond in the rough that someone discovers that could really end up being a contributor on the practice squad or better. I also think there's a chance that the guy might never see the light of day.
He signed as an undrafted free agent.
Well, there you go.
Calvin Tyler Jr. Yep. He uses a big mouthpiece. That's all I can say. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776.
I have a conspiracy theory.
Yeah?
Do we think that was Calvin Tyler Sr. calling from Beaumont?
Yeah.
And saying his name was Ken?
Good chance.
Good possibility.
Very good chance. Or maybe his uncle. Maybe somebody that knows him.
Yeah.
Own it.
So in that case, I think he's the steal of the draft. Let me put my Homer on hat real quick. He's going to be the Arian Foster of this draft. Undrafted free agent. We've never heard anything about him. And then all of a sudden, he's going to have an all-pro career. All right. Hat is off. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. 8029. Will we see Forrest Whitley soon? I'm going to rephrase this question. If Jose Urquidy lands on the injured list.
Well, I think that they're going to look internally for a solution. I think Whitley and Blanco will be the first two to get a crack at it if they need an extra starter. And then I think that, you know, and based on the severity of the injury, they'll consider any kind of outside options. But I think that, you know, Whitley has shown like he could actually have now the potential to be a major leaguer someday, based on what we didn't see since he started his career at the Astros and all the negatives. And then I think that, you know, Dana Brown has talked about Blanco getting stretched out and potentially being a starter. Then he really hasn't performed well no matter where he's been used so far. But maybe starting is his thing, and you may see him and give him a chance to see what he can do.
Forrest got beat up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to go.
It's going to be JP France.
Forrest got beat up recently?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that.
Yeah, I jumped the gun yesterday on my Forrest Whitley tweet.
Yeah.
Dana Brown has said that he's not bashful to use Forrest Whitley on the roster this year. But his ERA is like 5 or 6. I can't remember. I hadn't looked at Sugarland Spacer's numbers. Somebody tweeted it at me after I jumped the gun on my Forrest Whitley tweet. JP France is on the 40-man roster. Brandon Bielak's on the 40-man roster. If somebody were to need give a start to the Astros because Urquidy lands on the IL, can't pitch, or even just make his next turn in the rotation, I think it's between France and Bielak. I lean France. France has been pretty good. I think JP France would get a shot. I watched him in college. He pitched at Tulane.
Well, you know that Dusty likes to go with who he trusties, and I think that he likes the fact that when he's given the ball to Bielak, he hasn't really gotten crushed. He hasn't been great, dominant, but I think he's been a steady fill-in starter.
I think JP France is married to a former real-world Star. Mm. I use the word star very loosely there. 713-780-ESPN. 0280, what do you guys
think
about?
That's confirmed.
It is confirmed. Yeah.
From which
I don't know
world?
How I
I used to be a real world fan.
Jessica from, she's on The Challenge not that long ago.
I think she dated Cahutta.
That sounds right.
What's a Cahutta?
That's right. I think you're right.
A boy from Alabama. 713-780-ESPN, sticking down south. 0280 ask, what about Atlanta taking Bijan Robinson?
You know what? I thought that we saw the late push. The rumors kept saying there's a chance. I think Atlanta went in go for it mode. I think they let Arthur Smith get a guy that could immediately help them in an area where they've been okay. But I think that when you have, you know, Kyle Pitts and some of the, and Drake London and some of the guys that they've added recently, if they couldn't get the quarterback that they wanted this year, then they added the next best thing, another offensive weapon to give whichever quarterback they get a ton of weapons to work with in the next coming years.
Ooh.
The more I thought about it, I think I hate it. Like, I was anti-Bijan for the Texans because I like Damian Pierce and he did enough as a rookie. Tyler Allgeier rushed for 1,000 yards as a rookie for the Falcons.
But normally you need two backs, right?
No, you do, for sure. I mean, but now look, they got a stacked room and they got crazy options. They got Allgeier, Cordell Patterson, Bijan Robinson. Like, if Desmond Ridder is an above-average quarterback, they're going to have success. With that, with Drake London, Kyle Pitts, like, they should have a good offense.
I don't mind it for what they're trying to do. Like, they want to build a tight and run first, Derrick Henry style of offense. And Desmond Ridder, I don't think, is a great passer. So it makes sense for what they're trying to do, in my opinion. I like the pick. I hate it for Allgeier because Allgeier goes from being a 1,000-yard rookie back. And I had my post-draft fantasy football meeting with myself to see like which players have had their draft stock affected negatively or positively. Allgeier might be one of the biggest losers from a fantasy draft stock perspective around the NFL. So if you're an Allgeier owner, not a great day for you because Bijan Robinson's going to take up a bunch of his numbers. But what I thought of, like a comparison that I made between Allgeier and another player, what about James Robinson? Remember James Robinson, undrafted free agent, ran for 1,000 yards in his rookie year. There was nobody else really on the roster. And then all of a sudden, he's like a backup running back again in the NFL. I think Allgeier is better, has a better career trajectory than James Robinson. But I believe that's kind of the path he's going down. No, he's a Patriot now.
Oh, the Jets cut him?
He's been on multiple teams. But he's currently on the Patriots.
Well, it's weird because he had an ACL injury that kind of derailed him.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this the best moment in the draft?
Oh, boy.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good. This is Dad. My phone wasn't working. Look at here, man. You want to come to work with me next week?
I wouldn't mind that.
I got somebody I want to speak to.
Yeah, it was a really good moment. Really cool to see that.
Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State, the running back. His dad is a scout for the Cowboys, and his dad got to give him the call. Made me like the Cowboys for like a minute. It was cool.
It makes me like the Vaughn family. I think it's as far as I'm willing to go.
Fair.
I like Deuce Vaughn. The running back room right now in Dallas is interesting. You got Tony Pollard, Deuce Vaughn. Pollard coming off, a broken leg?
Yeah.
I think they need to re-sign Ezekiel Elliott.
We don't even know that he's going to be ready or when he's going to be ready coming off the injury late in the season like that.
I mean, Jerry being Jerry, he wouldn't rule out Zeke returning.
9229.
Nobody else seems to be knocking down his door.
Zeke makes sense there. He really does.
Just go back to Dallas.
Yeah.
On a cheaper contract.
Exactly. I mean, he's been released. He's got to be a different contract. But it makes sense for them to add Zeke back. It really does. 9229, what do y'all think about Titans taking Spears out of Tulane? Does that signal the end of the era in Tennessee? Spears isn't taking Henry's job. If it's the end of the era for Henry, it's because of Henry, not because of Spears. And 3863, stop saying 1,000 yards. It's 58 a game. Okay, literal Lenny. Can't say that Allgeier ran for 1,000 yards because it's 58 a game. 713-780, exactly. 3776. C.J. Stroud is the new quarterback for the Houston Texans. Is there any doubt that he is the day one? He's the day one starter for the Houston Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Texans have what they're hoping to be their franchise quarterback, selecting C.J. Stroud with their pick at number two in Thursday's first round. And now look, looking ahead, looking forward, blinders on, with what the Houston Texans will be looking like going forward and starting in the 2023 season. Cannot wait to see what the Houston Texans look like. Is C.J. Stroud your week one starter? Is he a day one for this football
team? I've been
thinking
about this since they made the pick. It's just interesting because what led me to like dig deeper on it is Caserio's comments. As glowing as he was.
I didn't think he was very glowing with Stroud, actually.
I was going to say, let me finish, though. I was going to say, as glowing as he was in drafting a defensive player and giving him to D'Amico and saying all the great things that he could say, he basically gave you the indication that it was a work in progress with C.J. Stroud, that he didn't have the same kind of accolades and love, per se, that at least I didn't feel that way in reading that quote. And I'm like, so who does he start then? Because we've already seen enough of Mills. And if they are trying to win more football games this year, is Case Keenum going to be your week one starter? And you're going to let C.J. Stroud kind of get comfortable and learn the position, learn the league, learn the playbook? Or are you going to force feed everybody C.J. Stroud, running the risk that you run, not necessarily a David Carr-like situation, but you could get some PTSD if he gets his head ripped off and doesn't succeed and he starts doubting himself?
Here was that clip that you're referring to about C.J. Stroud from Nick Caserio on Thursday night.
Really productive player. We had him in the building for a visit. He's, I would say, as competitive a player. Has an edge about him in a good way. Loves football. Wants to compete. Wants to be great. Good size. Comes from a good program. Ryan does a great job, with the program down there at Ohio State and, or up there at Ohio State. Certainly with the quarterback as well. CJ's been a productive player. He's been an accurate player. Certainly has a long way to go. I think he'll admit that.
There you go. That was him talking about
a long way to go. Doesn't sound like a guy penciled into week one.
He talked about Will Anderson like he was the second coming.
He did.
He was very complimentary of Will Anderson. It was pretty funny. I think Case Keenum is the third most likely guy to start on opening day, to be honest with you. Case Keenum is not here to start football games. Case Keenum is here to back up young quarterbacks and help groom them and be basically their second quarterback coach. I like the two guys that you're grooming C.J. Stroud with. Jerod Johnson, who is an up-and-comer in this business. I think he's going to be a great coach in the NFL, first-year QB coach. I think he's going to do wonders for C.J. Stroud. Obviously, I think the world of Case Keenum, go Cougs. I'm wearing his jersey today because I was wearing my, Homer hat a little bit earlier. This is my Homer jersey, too. So, I believe in the guys in the room. I think they're going to get the most out of C.J. Stroud. You're not drafting a quarterback at number two to sit him. I know that the Texans did this for a half of football with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was the 12th pick of the draft that year, and that was also quite a bit of ways ago. How often do guys that you're drafting in the top five sit early in the year? Not that often. I honestly don't think it's a question. I think it's a slam dunk. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that C.J. Stroud, day one starter for the Houston Texans. And if you want to go even further than that, and some people think that ownership made the pick of C.J. Stroud, maybe. That's all I'll say on that.
You said that Cal's going to force feed him to playing?
If you're making the pick at number two to sell merch, you're playing him. You're playing him. You're not sitting him on the sidelines. I don't think there's any question at all that C.J. Stroud's a day one starter.
I think you have to start him day one because, first of all, if he's not mentally tough enough to handle the struggles that are going to come with being a rookie quarterback, then you've made a disaster of a decision as a franchise.
And it's also not a bad team. It's not a terrible offensive line that's going to cause him to get killed.
Yeah, and the only way, and this is, I think, worst case scenario with C.J. Stroud, if you don't play him, is if he's like Tua. Tua Tagovailoa admitted after his rookie season that he couldn't pick up the playbook. If C.J. Stroud can't not grasp Bobby Sloak's offense, then maybe you don't play him, but that's a huge red flag.
So that's a Trey Lance type thing.
Yeah, you got to play him day one. I mean, I know it's just talk, but we all are in agreement that Anthony Richardson's a massive, massive project, and the Colts have already declared him their starting quarterback. He's going to start. Bryce Young's going to start. Stroud's going to start. The only one who's not is third string Will Levis. Sorry, Jerry.
Well, he said
that's what they said.
He said he's the third string, but has a chance to win the job. I don't think Will Levis is going to start. They have Ryan Tannehill there.
Yeah,
I think that Tannehill will be their opening day starter. I think Levis takes over games in.
And I think Stroud, in today's NFL, if you don't have like that real veteran that can start in front of you, like Patrick Mahomes had with Alex Smith, there's just no reason to sit these guys.
Well, unless you have a really subpar offensive line and you think the guy could get absolutely annihilated.
But the Texans don't have that.
But even then,
I'm not saying they do, but I'm saying, to Joe's point, the scenario where you don't do that, even if he should be forced out there, is the David Carson.
And even then, like the Bengals played Joe Burrow. It cost him his knee.
Could have cost him a lot more.
Yeah, and I think it has. Like Joe Burrow has not been healthy at really any point towards the end of the season his entire career because his offensive line's been awful. But like, what you have in place, you think you have a solid wide receiver room. You have a running game that you can rely on. You have a good to above average offensive line. Like, C.J. Stroud has to play from week one. It's a mistake to put Davis Mills out there, and there's no way it's Case Keenum. I still don't think Davis Mills will even be on the roster.
I think that Mills will be your second-string quarterback. You're going to keep three quarterbacks, your starter, Stroud. Davis Mills is your two, and Case Keenum's your veteran in the room. He's your grown-up in the room.
Ooh, I think I flip-flop him.
I don't think there's a chance Case Keenum starts games over Davis Mills. What's the point?
But what's the point with Davis Mills if you already know who he is?
You don't think you know who Case Keenum already is?
Right, but Case Keenum's going to be here for a while because he's happy and content being a backup.
He has a one-year deal. Davis Mills still has 2 years left on his contract. Case might have signed two. I don't remember the parameters of the deal.
I also think that if Case Keenum just, you know, and there's no reason to believe he won't, but if he just, you know, plays his cards right and keeps being a great mentor and big brother, they'll keep him around for a couple of years, and he's a solid backup.
But we're talking about who's starting a game first. There's no way Case is starting a game ahead of Davis Mills.
You don't think Stroud goes down that they put Case out there?
I don't. I think they go Davis Mills.
I think it depends.
I think they want to learn more about Mills in this particular offense.
I think they've shown you that they're more focused on wins this year.
They are win
than
now
they have in the past. Yeah,
they're win
and
now.
So I think if you're win now, you're going to put Case out there before you're going to put out Davis Mills again.
I think I agree with that. That Case Keenum will be the quarterback if Stroud were to get hurt. But like Stroud will be the day one quarterback for sure.
I just don't see the point of doing that.
I would
honestly to win football games, which Case Keenum has the propensity to do a lot better than Davis Mills.
Agreed. That's how bad Davis Mills is. Exactly. Like, if your goal is to win football games, and for some reason Stroud's not out there, it's Case.
I think you could just learn more about
Mills. There's no
reason
to lose anymore when you gave up your own pick.
But what do you need to learn about Mills?
If you want to keep him around as a backup after this first year, first rookie contract.
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, in theory, you could keep Davis Mills as a backup. But my guess is going forward, it's always going to be a Case Keenum-like player behind C.J. Stroud.
See, I think it could possibly be who you're suiting up on game day, which Stroud is your one, Case is your two. But if Stroud has an injury where he's out for 4 weeks, where Davis Mills is starting for 4 weeks.
I mean, I think anything's possible, but at the end of the day, Stroud has to play.
I just don't understand. Yeah, I just don't understand why you would start a 35-year-old quarterback instead of starting a quarterback in their mid-20s in his rookie contract. I mean, I understand the argument. Does Case win more games than Davis Mills if they started 17 games on this football team? I don't know.
I do.
I really don't.
Yeah, I guess we don't know for sure, but I would lean Case.
I'd rather get intel on the young player.
It's because of how little I think of Davis Mills as a player.
I don't think much of Davis Mills either. I've been banging on Davis Mills since his rookie year when you had the Mills Mafia. So I'm not a Mills homer, but I am kind of curious what Mills would look like in this specific offense versus a Pep Hamilton no-coast offense. 713-780-ESPN. Is there any doubt that C.J. Stroud is the opening day starter? 713-780-3776. And for one segment, we're going to remove the draft capital that the Houston Texans gave up in this draft. We're going to remove the whole Texans don't have their 2024 first. We're going to eliminate the trade, and we're going to look primarily at this draft class, the players that you brought in, and also the whole offseason, and how good or bad was the Texans offseason. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, I love what Apollo Men's Health has been able to do for me. I know Pat Creighton loves what they've been able to do for him. They can do it for you, too. And they have a variety of ways that they can help you. And it goes with your everyday regimen and your everyday, work and workouts and family time and all the different things that you want to try and squeeze into 24 hours. You may feel like in the last several years you've taken a step back. You're not having the energy you once had. you don't think there's any way you can solve it. There's actually a multitude of ways to pick from where they might be able to help you. It starts with B12 shots on a weekly basis and try that. Otherwise, if you want to try hormone therapy, they have a multitude of different ways that for both men and women, they can get more energy in your life on a daily basis. So you can get those to-do list things done. The other things is from the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, people experience more problems as they get older. And they think that things that they were able to do in the past, they're not able to do anymore. That's not true if you see the people at Apollo Men's Health, because they can help you in all those ways too. You want to get on a workout program, you can start with something as simple as a full body composition analysis. So when you get to like 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in and you feel like you're not making any more gains and strides, well, do another body comp and compare it to your first week and say, oh, look, your body fat is down, your muscle mass is up. All those important numbers are trending in the right direction, and it gives you motivation to stick with the program. Recovering quicker is easier with HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies, they got that too. Two locations to better serve you, and if you mention my name, Joel Blank, you get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit. Go there right now to the website, apollomh.com. Book your first appointment and see how easy it can be to make a difference in your life on a daily basis. They're good people doing great things. They're the people at Apollo Men's Health.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
0446, sorry, Branham. Got to agree with Blankers and Joe. Case is the backup if Stroud gets hurt. You lost all credibility with your Levis stance. Fair, I guess. It's going to be fair. He's going 33 in the draft, hasn't played an NFL snap, and we're already closing the book on that story. We'll see how it plays out. Although I hate that landing spot for Levis, I'm not going to lie. I think Tennessee was a bad spot for
Why?
Levis. I think the offense.
They drafted a receiver last year.
I think the offensive system sucks. Tim Kelly's their OC. Tim Kelly's their OC. That's why I think it's a bad landing spot for him. They have zero skill players. I just think it's a bad landing spot.
And I don't think he'll be their quarterback ever.
I disagree. Why? I think he'll be their starter like second half of this year.
I think he's got a better chance than Malik Willis.
I think they're going to go 3 for 3. 3 straight drafts, 3 straight quarterbacks.
They potentially could.
And like, because I...
Depends
on
where it falls.
I think it's his take.
I'm going to smash the under on the Tennessee Titans this year.
He's saying they're going to land potentially in the top of the draft.
Like, I think the Texans, well, I guess now the Cardinals, will have a better draft position, or I guess lower draft position. Than the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I never really know how to say that.
I don't either. Are they higher or are they lower?
Worse. Let's go worse or better.
They're going to have a worse record than the Texans. The Titans are going to finish last in the division.
Like, we always run into that with basketball seeding. Better to have a high seed or a low seed? Yeah, I don't know. Let's just call it better or worse. 713-780-ESPN. 3780, the funny text. Champ of the day nominee. Even though C.J. Stroud is taking a step back with his receiver room, I think he'll be successful here and you guys will be thrilled. It's a fact, though. Ohio State's receiving room was better and better than the Houston Texans receiving room. The Texans receiving room, I was looking at the like positional groups for the Texans. There's still two like groups that I'm not, thrilled with. Mm-hmm. I like the pieces they have in the receiver room. I think they're a receiver. I think they're a wide receiver one away from being pretty darn good.
Yep.
Because I think Mechie's going to be a really good two. I think Tank Dell is going to be a really good three. Like they're a dominant receiver away from being a really good receiver.
Like a Marvin Harrison Jr. type that could possibly be available.
Yeah. Hopefully the Browns are really bad.
Yep.
Because you don't have yours. And then the linebackers, like Christian Harris, a lot. Outside of that, you got Christian Kirksey. You got To'o To'o, who knows what he's going to be as a fifth-round draft pick.
He could be your Sergeant Helka, your big
hopefully.
To'o.
No, I don't love the linebackers outside of Harris, and I think that there's a glaring hole at receiver one. But, hey, look, Texans are a way better roster than they were last year. We'll get into that here in a little bit, too. Taking away the future draft capital, removing that from a moment, because obviously that's our big hangup. How good was this Texans offseason? How much better is the roster now versus where it was 365 days ago? 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to our HRMP listener line, get Shane in here. Shane, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Shane? No, we're not. He got a little stage fright
that was
there.
Shane.
That's what I said, right?
I'm just making sure because you guys throw some
Shane.
Shrapnel when callers drop like that.
I said Shane three times, didn't
he did.
I?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying
I heard
he dropped.
Him.
I didn't kill Shane.
I thought Shane dropped.
Yeah.
I thought
you
Shane
were being
got stage
mean today,
fright.
But, yeah, that definitely was on him.
Shane got a little bit of stage fright there. It's all right. What do you think about that, Blinkers? Let's eliminate the draft capital for a moment. Look, I think both of us are kind of wait-and-see mode to see what happens in 23, what happens with these players that you got, what happens with the players that you kind of gave away, the draft picks you gave away, and then to see where the Houston Texans land in the 2024 draft.
I think as long as you take the trade capital out of the equation, I'm very pleased with what they did because we identified throughout the pre-draft process all the different needs that they had. We knew they had a glaring need for quarterback. We knew they had to improve their pass rush. We knew that they needed a center. We knew that they needed extra wide receivers and other pieces. I think they did a lot of good for this roster, and they improved their football team significantly by adding young talent. This is the next step in the next progression after a couple years of embracing the suck, and I was very pleased. And we obviously have to wait and see how this translates to how these players play on the field. But if it's anything like a year ago when your fourth-round pick becomes your best offensive player and your second-round safety instantaneously becomes a starter that has an impact, and you can go on and on, I think that you look at this and say, I think they addressed needs, they filled holes, and I think they got younger quality football players that you can easily see being a part of this for the next several years. So I was very pleased with what they did.
The roster's way better. Like, I mean, let's be completely honest. This roster really is an NFL team again. I know that I was mocking it early in the show, but this team is a far better team than it was a year ago. If the 2023 Houston Texans played the 2022 Houston Texans, the new Texans win 15 of those 17 games, if not more. You feel like you've upgraded the quarterback position. I do hesitate to say, even if a rookie quarterback is good, it is tough to win games with rookie quarterbacks in the NFL. But Stroud has way more upside than Davis Mills, so you're way better there. Damian Pierce in year two, and with a scheme that's supposed to be way better for running backs than what you had a year ago. The offensive line's about the same, but you have another year of development. Kenyon Green, you traded for Shaq Mason. The receivers are better. Like, you still have Nico Collins. Like, I don't know how great I feel about Nico Collins, if I'm being honest. I don't think Nico Collins is, like, long-term plans for the Houston Texans. But he's still around, so you didn't drop off from that. You did lose Brandon Cooks, who was your best receiver last year. But you have a John Metchie, who we didn't see play last year, who's a former second-round pick, and I really like Tank Dell. Mm-hmm. So the receivers are, like, fun. They're exciting. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, adding Will Anderson, John Grenard's probably your opposite defensive end. Jerry Hughes is still on this team. The defensive line is way better because Sheldon Rankins is here. Yep. You've brought back Malik Collins, so it shouldn't be a team that is last in the league in rushing. Stingley Petrie year two. The secondary is mostly fine. Outside of Harris, I question who that second linebacker is going to be. I didn't even mention Dalton Schultz. But this team is far better than it was a year ago. Last year's team was closer to an XFL team than an NFL team. This year's Houston Texans is a real NFL team. Does it mean 5 wins, 7 wins, 9 wins? We'll wait and see. But this team is much better than it was a year ago, no doubt about it.
And again, a lot of it is based on who you're playing and how good they are. And everybody keeps saying, well, they got such a soft schedule. But you got to play the games. You got to figure out. Because there were teams at the start of last season we thought were going to be fighting for a playoff spot that ended up being right in the conversation for some of the best picks in the draft because they just didn't perform to the levels you thought they were going to perform at. Cleveland's on the schedule again is an interesting scenario for a lot of reasons, obviously, because you're rooting against them because you get their pick as opposed to your own. And so you're going to find out how they measure up. I think they measure up better. I think that they have a better chance. But like you said, when you're starting a rookie quarterback, if that's the direction you go, then I think that you have to assume that you take more L's than you would, in year two and year three when the quarterback's more comfortable. I think that regardless how easy the schedule is, you got a quarterback that's going to be learning on the fly. He's going to make a lot of mistakes, and that's going to cause you to have a lot more L's that might otherwise have been W's. And so you have to factor that in, too, when you look at the big picture.
See, C.J. Stroud can have a really promising rookie year and still not lead to tons of wins. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to win in the NFL with rookie quarterback play. Like it's just very difficult to get a lot of success with rookie quarterbacks. So, like, I like the young nucleus of this team. Like, you need to hit on C.J. Stroud. You need to hit on Will Anderson. But the nucleus of where you are now obviously is much better than where you were last year. I think Caserio did a decent job with some stopgap free agents that, like, he's plugging some guys in to where you were weak, areas of weakness. You're trying to upgrade the overall level of the roster. I think that can try to help a rookie quarterback. We didn't mention Singletary. Like, Singletary's an upgrade over Rex Burkhead.
Yeah, there's another big thing that's not been mentioned. mentioned either.
What's that?
I mean, you've 10x improved your coaching staff.
Like, I mean, we haven't seen guys coach. I mean, D'Amico Ryan's great defensive coordinator, had a great team. The 49ers just didn't become good at defense when D'Amico got there.
I'm pretty confident he'll
But the step up should be better than Lovey. Should. Yeah. It's easy to question, though,
because of the fact that he doesn't have the same roster he had in San Francisco on defense, 100%. Being D'Amico. And offensively, how is Bobby Slowick going to do when Big Daddy Kyle isn't right down the sideline from him 10 yards away?
I feel like schematically, though, like just the team's in a better position. Like, no matter what they run, it's going to be the best, like, on paper offense and defense.
Now, let me ask you guys this.
A long time.
Like, let's assume, and I'll concede that the coaching staff is better. Now, D'Amico, head coach versus DC, different story. Bobby Slowick has never called a play in the NFL, right. And we don't know if D'Amico's calling plays on defense. So, like, there's a lot of unknowns to the coaching staff as well, but I'll concede better coaching staff. I don't think anybody's going to put up a fight there. If this coaching staff was coaching last year's team, how many more wins does that team have?
Well, Davis Mills is still your starting quarterback.
The exact same personnel, the exact same team. All you're replacing is the coaching staff.
What's the win total?
Last year they had three. What's the win total for that
four.
One? That's what I'm thinking.
I was going to say five.
Exactly. I think it's four, maybe.
Because I think you probably win that first game you tie, I think, with a better coaching staff. And then I think the Chicago game, looking back on it, like you probably could
I thought
have
that
got
was a winnable
one.
Game.
It was like, winnable, but I don't think that there was anything that convinced me that any coaching staff could get a difference maker to say that it's definitely would have been a win.
Yeah, I think it's just, you never know. I think there's one more win in there, if not two, definitely that I think the tie goes your way. Like, if they have a successful season this year, I don't think it's going to be because of Stroud.
What's successful?
Like if they win seven games this year,
it's because
of their schedule and because of, like, who they're going to be playing. Like, you talk about it's not easy for a rookie quarterback to win. Well, if D'Amico Ryans is the coach you think he's going to, you're going to play two games versus Anthony Richardson. You're going to play Bryce Young.
That's a good point.
You're probably going to play Will Levis. Like, you might play Clayton Tune. Like, if you get the Arizona Cardinals in the first 2 weeks, you're playing Colt McCoy or Clayton Tune. So the schedule does line up to the fact where if D'Amico is as good as a defensive coach as we're hoping he is, that based on that and Damian Pierce alone, like, if Stroud doesn't throw three picks, like, you're going to win five games.
713-780-ESPN. What are your thoughts on the Texans offseason that's mostly complete? 713-780-3776. HRMP listener line. Also, the Giants are in town for some baseball. Is this guy a San Francisco Giant, or is he a footballer in La Liga? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, I love Luis Garcia Day. Really, so I can just listen to this. I play this on loop on the way home when it's Luis Garcia Day. And Luis Garcia has been phenomenal. You know when Luis Garcia started this hot streak? Do you know when Luis Garcia started to pitch like the Luis Garcia that we all know that he's capable of doing?
Let me guess. When we started playing this song for you.
When Joe George was finally, you know, not working, doing one of the other things that he wears his hats for.
Maybe the problem is that these guys are soft.
Luis Garcia's not soft. How dare you?
That they can't be successful without us.
Luis Garcia would pitch like crap and he would do the post-game interview.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you know whose song we didn't play?
But he'll try to say a bunch of English.
Yep.
Whose song we didn't play and he dominated?
Well, that's because we haven't used it yet.
They don't have a song
for
it. We haven't used it yet.
Hunter Brown.
We haven't used it yet.
Hunter Brown.
But we haven't used it yet.
I forgot to use it the last time he
pitched. Well, at least you owned it.
Seven innings, two hits.
But we haven't started using it yet
Now I feel like, okay.
We probably should just come back with silence.
Nothing
I don't know that you want to keep
until he pitches
this
poorly.
Because,
I think he's right.
Remember the one where you...
I did play Hunter Brown's the day before.
Right, you did. balked.
What was the one where we were between two songs and we went with the first one?
That was Urquidy. But we might not see him for a while anyway.
That's a Jeremy Branham special.
Knock on wood.
Gave me the wrong song.
My takes are brutal. I don't know why you guys listen to me. Luis.
We might have to play Mr.'s Broken Wings again if his arm is all screwed
all
up.
All I know is that, Jeremy, your take that's gone a little viral.
Yeah.
You will be in Old Take Exposed new book if these guys pan out.
The thing about
me is... that's how strong that take is.
The worst day in Texans history?
Yeah, like it's if they
it could be the worst day in Texas history and a day that could live in infamy.
I know there's a could in there, but it's going to be in the book.
The which is fine. I don't care. Like, I don't care about being wrong. I don't care about having a strong opinion being mocked and ridiculed. No, I do not care at all.
I actually just love the idea that, like, it's so strong that, like...
I love it, too.
You're
really
going to get just annihilated by old takes exposed.
I don't take soft stances, man.
No, I know.
I don't sit on a fence. I tell you what I think. If you want to laugh, ridicule, mock me, try to cancel me, Texans Twitter, so be it. I don't care. I never have, never will.
No, I'm not responsible for the Dubon jinx. We are.
Oh, yeah. We are responsible for that.
Yeah, that's a team effort.
Garcia, by the way, 13 shutout innings.
Wait,
in
we're
last
responsible? Why? Because we were guessing when the streak would end?
Were you giving away? Did anybody guess 20 games for the t-shirt?
Yeah, I got to go through the text line and
I said Saturday
the person
night.
Up.
You were wrong.
Yeah.
I know I was wrong. I missed it by one. I'm that saying. Night. So at least that was positive enough to get him into Saturday.
Yeah, one of the texters got it first, so I got to hit him up.
That's funny that a texter said it in tonight. Oh, man, that's classic.
And I'm pretty sure the text said, like, it because of you, it now ends tonight. And they were right.
That's brutal. 3780, trading your own first rounder next year versus trading the Browns first rounder shows confidence in your team. If you ask me, I think it was the right move to put pressure on yourselves to perform. What do you guys think?
No.
That's one way of looking at it. It definitely puts the Texans in we better win this year mode, though.
I really think that it's definitely kind of changed their focus a little bit. I think that they're more concentrated. As much as Caserio in the past would be the first to tell you, we're not being measured by wins and losses. I think wins and losses matter now. I think that wins
absolutely.
As a barometer, especially as it relates to those picks, whether you like the trade, don't like the trade, thought they got fleeced, didn't think they got fleeced. Fact is, you don't have your own. You got Cleveland's. So you're hoping that they suck. You're hoping the Texans are better. And you're competing with the Browns before you even compete with your own division in a lot of ways.
Yeah, even if C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson are good and you only have 3 wins this year, Nick Caserio will get fired if they have a top 3 pick.
He very well could.
But I will say, and that's one of the things that bothers, the only thing that like really bothers me about this, the whole process, is if they fire Nick Caserio at the end of the season. Like, if he was not comfortable in like in a ice-cold chair and not a hot seat, then Cal McNair should have never let him make that trade. If there's even an inkling in his body that he might want to fire Nick Caserio,
look at your situation in Chicago.
100%. Yeah. I get why they traded up for Fields. I think it was the right decision. But then you have to fire your coach and your GM, and then that GM
and
doesn't
your GM
have...
was comfortable making the deal because he knew he would worst case scenario, which was coming. He probably won't see it live through the picks that you gave away.
So like if they're even if it's a disaster, I almost feel like you're pot committed to Nick Caserio now.
Yeah, I don't think they're firing him.
I think that, and with a 6-year deal and the McNairs, I could easily see them wanting to get through 4-5 at least.
Through 3? This
I felt like I
after
felt,
this season
going,
will be 3.
This is, okay.
I felt hiring DeMeco, though, reset the button on Caserio.
I think I didn't.
I think at least
you say he's going to be here for at least 2 years?
Well, I'm saying based on what the McNairs and they like him and he has a 6-year deal, I could see him getting through 5. But I don't think that it reset the button because of DeMeco, because he still screwed up the first 2 royally.
You think he's You think he screwed up the first 2 royally? How did he screw up the first 1?
Because it took you 2 to get to where you needed to go. It should have only taken you 1. And the fact
you
that
didn't have a first or a second, and you had no talent on your roster, and you were in salary cap hell.
But David Culley was a complete, unadulterated swing and miss that was ridiculous.
Yeah, he was a bridge. He was Bo Porter. Like they weren't caring.
But I'm saying
you
should only had 1 bridge. In the plan, you went through 2. They were both African American. They got you got screwed up and you got ripped to shreds nationally and locally. But I'm just saying. Well, I can tell you who cares. The McNairs, they hate the look. That's why they're trying to change everything right now. I think that and they put that on Caserio, and it should be on Caserio. He made both hires.
Yeah. I don't.
I think they're both of them were bridge coaches.
I don't agree with that because I think they fired the person that's responsible for both hires.
You think Easterby was responsible for both of them?
Now maybe he wasn't directly responsible for the Lovie Smith hire, but his actions led to Lovie Smith.
I think Lovie Smith was a victim of circumstance.
But that's what I mean.
Or a positive victim of circumstance.
But that's what I mean. Like it's like Jack Easterby's love with Josh McCown led to Lovie. And that's where I do think Caserio, like everything he had to deal with, like he's done a fine job. And that's why I think, he'll get like at least 2 or 3 more years.
I don't think you ever want to look for the half glass full explanation is he's done a fine job. If he's only done a fine job, I think there should be reason to fire him.
I just don't know what he could have done differently.
I know. He's probably honestly done the best he can.
Yeah. Like what else would he have done? Like win 8 games last year? How? How?
I understand that we've gone back and forth to say, look, as much as people want to already have this guy out of town, he didn't have any draft picks at the top of the draft his first year. He had to dig out of the Bill O'Brien holes. You know, there was a lot of challenges that he had to overcome. So I'm not one that thought he should have gotten fired this year in the offseason anyway. But I think in a year's time, there's going to be a lot of people calling for his head if these two guys and more don't pan out and he doesn't have a similar draft outside of the first round than the draft that he had a year ago.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. All right, Giants are in town for baseball tonight. They begin a three-game series. I'm going to read to you three pairs, and you're going to tell me if they're a San Francisco Giant or a footballer in La Liga, all right? Are you ready?
Okay.
Tyro Estrada and David Alba. Which one's a Giant? Which one's a footballer in La Liga?
I'm going to say David Alba is the baseball player.
Incorrect. Oh. Tyro Estrada is the baseball player. He's actually hitting .346 for the Giants. Little middle infielder. Wow. So expect to see him tonight doing pretty good. David Alba is a center back for Real Madrid. So you're 0-1. All right.
My love of soccer is unbelievable.
Eric Garcia.
It does matter, though.
Or Camilo Doval.
The first guy's a Giant.
Second incorrect. Eric Garcia is a footballer for Barcelona. Camilo Doval is a reliever for the Giants. I think he's their best reliever, too, actually. Has a few saves, but they kind of do the closer by committee. If memory serves, one of the better young arms in baseball. All right, the final one. David Silva or Sean Gelly?
Sean Gelly is the soccer player.
Incorrect. Might be the last time we play this game.
Tough game.
Might be the last
I'm
time.
I'm still going to have a great week.
We play this game. You know. Sean Gelly is a University of Kentucky alum.
I know. Carl Yastrzemski's grandson ain't playing
7:30
tonight.
7:30 ERA. David Silva plays for Real Sociedad. So.
Mini Yaz got hurt. He's heading for the ILA.
What is the Wheelhouse leading with?
Oh, draft.
Be more specific, though. A specific angle.
The Texans
that they're leading with.
The Texans draft. The trade. The ramifications. How do you feel about it after digesting the whole draft over the course of the weekend?
I better put my Homer hat on for this. The Wheelhouse is going to lead with this draft for the Texans was the best draft in franchise history. Joe George, what do you got?
I'll go with that. We'll double down.
Yeah, let's go, baby. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Joe George for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The house wheels are off next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.